Welcome to SelfDiscoveryWisdom.com, formerly known as Self Discovery Media. On these podcasts, you're going to hear people who speak from the heart. They've taken the journey in life. Many things have happened to them, but they've changed it to happening for them. And in their strength, their courage, they've discovered their abilities and their wisdom, and they are now sharing it here with you. Do enjoy each show. We bring it to you with love and knowing that it's going to help you on your journey of life. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Mental Health Awareness right here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troy, and my guest is Kate King today. We're going to be talking about not just mental health, but, you know, trauma, psychological trauma, emotional pain, how we can get through it. She says, True North, how to center and ground yourself amidst chaos. That's a good one. The segment is about what we can do to align to our value systems with our daily lives. The big idea is psychological trauma, mental illness, physical and emotional pain, and disembodying our value systems are at the all-time high. Completely agree. We have become guided by who we think we are supposed to be rather than who we actually are. Yet the North Star, for whose fixed position is in the night sky, provides a compass for which to navigate. We humans possess an inner North Star that steers us away from our essential selves. It's from that fixed home within ourselves that we allow our radiance to emulate. And that is so completely true. This is what I'm talking about all the time on the shows, is that we have a compass inside of us that is guided by Gus, universe, spirit, source, energy, North Star, whatever you wish to call it. And then when we open it up and we receive it, it is our compass that ignites our heart into truth, our spirit into action, and our mind into clarity. But of course, if we are in chaos, which a lot of mental health is around chaos, and that chaos is very much what is out there in the world at the present moment, how do we find that compass that can lead us peacefully forward? So lots to talk about here, Kate. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I am eager to get into all of that good stuff with you.
Yes. You know, I have many genres and they can go under many of them. But the reason why mental health is that very often the chaos is that we're so affected by the disruption that the world is going through right now, the transition that it's going through, that sometimes it's hard to kind of keep our feet on the ground looking at that North Star and heading for it, because the chaos keeps feeling like it's pulling us back and putting such a mental and emotional strain on us, isn't it?
Yes, that's so true. And, you know, I think we're wired to be sort of looking for chaos because Mother Nature wants us to be prepared and wants us to know, you know, how to protect ourselves. It's very adaptive to be looking out for problems. And so that's why they do feel so seductive. And when you see catchy titles on your news feed about how terrible things are, there really is a pull toward that. Because people innately have a self-protective mechanism built in. And when we see something concerning outside of ourselves, it's adaptive to want to protect ourselves from it. And part of that is gaining the knowledge and the information about what's actually going on. But in a world where there's so much false news and fake media, that kind of has been messed with in a way. And so we can't always trust what we're seeing or hearing. And that's where the North Star and that true North comes in, because ultimately it will guide us if we let ourselves listen to it.
Big key. If we listen. And the listening is the feeling to listen, feeling to understand the knowledge, right? The wisdom is the feeling you get with that connection, that whatever knowledge we're carrying around in our head will become relevant, will become clear at that time and how to use that wisdom. But we are very inclined to go through the head first, which is very chaotic in its own sense, because it's programming upon programming upon programming running all at the same time. And then with the chaos and the angst, I call it, you know, taking a pimple and making it into a volcanic eruption. And this is what I feel, that the news and the sensationalism outside, and you've got so many people like this, but what's the point? I don't have hope anymore.
Yes. Yeah, that's why this work is a really embodied experience, because so many people are they forget that they have a body and that their body has so much wisdom, and we're such a cerebral society in the West
Yes.
that we tend to think that we're just bobbleheads floating around, and we forget that actually our mind is very influenceable. It's very malleable. It's easy to change. It's very fickle. This is why in Buddhist psychology, they call the mind the monkey mind, because it swings around from branch to branch and it's not really grounded. But so much of mental health work is integrating the mind with embodiment and with the
Yes.
sensations of the body and the feelings, the emotions, the wisdom that exists from the neck down. And when we have that integrated sense of being, we can so much more attuned to ourselves and to other people, and we can just more strongly guide our own path from that place.
For me, I feel it's the only clear way to guide the path, right? Because there isn't an agenda in it. And when we're in our heads, where there's always an agenda around it, and we've been conditioned and programmed that way. And we really do have to look at society in all its anxiety, sadness, hate, disconnect, everything else that's going on, the turmoil that is going on right now, and ask ourselves, how did we get to that place? Now, it isn't for a politician to come in and clean it up. It's for us to look at our own turmoil in our own lives. And go, am I on the spinning top, just spinning around and around and around in one place and feeling I'm getting somewhere, but I'm going nowhere? And how do I take the deep breath, center myself, ground myself, and pay attention and open up to that North Star compass? For we're asking people that are in chaos to calm down. And for some people, that's very difficult.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work. It takes intention. But I really do think that if each person can attend to themselves first, if they can sort of gaze inward and heal whatever trauma is disrupting their life, whatever instability they might be navigating within themselves, if you start with healing from you, then it starts to emanate and ripple
Yes.
outward and make a positive effect in your
Yes.
family, in your society, and
Yes.
even in the world at large. So we have to all remember that we're part of the collective, even though we feel individual and separate. We're really not. We're really all just made out of the same stardust that's manifest into human form. And I think when we can zoom out and remember that you are both an individual and a part of a collective, then it really brings together a lot more meaning for what this healing work can achieve and why it is so important.
I always draw an analogy of we're in discovery of what our instrument is and then how to play it. And yes, we could be a soloist and play very, very well. However, when we come to an orchestra with everybody else's beautiful instruments and we decide to work harmoniously together, we become transcending. But that orchestra is only as good as everybody's agreement to be harmonious, but also participation with our own gift. And that thing is, what is our gift? What is our purpose? I feel many times people are lost. And I've just put out a book, an anthology, a labor of love over 5 years. We have 15 people in the book talking about our forgotten children. And my particular chapter was talking about how did it get to kids coming together to stab someone to death for fun because they feel nothing in life. And this is scary. That our children have reached that stage, that have that apathy, they've just lost that connection. And I feel it's the outside living life, which is just a hurricane. And we haven't taught them how to be present within themselves, where the true peace and meaning of life is.
Absolutely. And a lot of that is because I think we're a little overconnected in sort of
The
the
wrong
internet
way.
way.
Yes,
Yes,
yes.
but we're underconnected in the
Yes.
true intimacy and the authenticity that we each really need to build healthy relationships that reflect back to us our own worth and what I call your personal genius, which is your gift and your
Yes.
instrument. So as
Yes.
soon as you can get into contact with that personal genius, then you can start to live your life in a way that feels purposeful and full of meaning and fulfillment. But if you're not doing the healing work and you're not investigating what might be a barrier between you and accessing that personal genius, then it's always going to feel like
Yeah.
it's far away. But it's not. It's in you. It's always been in you. That's the essential self, the essential you that came into form to have that purpose. And this is more just like the decluttering process where the healing work clears the way for you to live that path that you were meant to.
Yeah, that self-discovery of who am I really and what am I here for? And
Yes.
part of the struggle, I think suffering is a choice. Some people suffer, but I think when you can turn it around to challenges and struggle, that struggling is to show you how strong, how courageous. It shows you your abilities, your tenacity and your resilience. And it isn't out to get you, it's there to teach you. And if we're willing to go through the process and learn, listen, learn, and apply, which is what I say about these shows, listen, learn, and apply, then you will actually start discovering that beautiful inner voice, that inner feeling, that inner calmness, that purpose that is desperately trying to come out. And that's why some people get what I call a cosmic 2x4. The universe is desperately trying to communicate with them, and they're not paying attention. So it's a nudge, nudge, wink, wink, and a whack-a-roo, when you don't pay attention. And we get people suddenly very sick, or lose their job, lose their house, lose their marriage. But when they get back up, it was the greatest gift they ever had, because it put them back on the right track to where they need to be and who they need to be. But we really would prefer it that people could realize this along the journey and not wait for the cosmic 2x4.
Well, I think, there's a pain point where sometimes people have to get to that point before they instigate change because we get really complacent as
Yes.
being.
Yes.
And I think a lot of times it's easier to choose something that's comfortable and familiar. And, I always hold in my mind what Brené Brown says to choose courage over comfort. And really, that's the harder choice,
Yes.
and what you're speaking about is shifting the mindset around how you think about suffering, because in traditions like Buddhism, suffering is part of life, and it might even be the reason that we are here to navigate and overcome our attachment to, not having suffering, because we're human beings and we're organic material, and so there's going to be issues that arise in us, but the mindset is our choice. And how
Yes.
you see yourself in that suffering, you do have a lot of power around. And so I really think it's important for people to reclaim that power. And when they feel like they're getting hit after wave of wave, wave of suffering, to really see it as opportunity, as growth, as potential, or as that cosmic 2x4 that maybe they've really needed as a wake-up call.
Yeah. I just interviewed a wonderful lady about cancer. Cancer sucks. She's had it 3 times, but she decided to become a CEO over her own health and body, and treated all of the doctors and everything as people that were part of the company working for her. Right. And so she needed details, she needed clarity, she needed this and that so she could make the right decisions. But she stepped in and became the boss. And I think
Love
that's
that.
a great attitude to have when you're facing something. Everything is life-threatening, right? It's not breathing, it's life-threatening. So if we look at things as life and lightning, which she has chose to do, and when we do choose that, what am I here to learn from this? What am I learning about myself? What am I learning about my ability? What am I learning about life and everything around me? And look at it as a lesson. I think the true enrichment and the abundance that we get from that is not something we can get in any other way other than going through struggle.
I agree. I think it's placed in our path for a very good reason. I think we need it. That's how we get boosted to new levels of growth.
Yes. And growth is what it's all about. As human beings, we're not just here to kind of rinse and recycle. We're here to evolve. And right now, what is happening is the consciousness is begging us to rise, is raise up your frequency, your vibration, raise it up to kindness, compassion, caring, and love, and consideration. And the more we step into that higher vibration, we can't knowingly go and hurt anyone else or ourselves, because it does hurt ourselves to do so. So that consciousness becomes something where it opens us up to see things on such a high level that we really begin to get the clarity that we've been seeking.
Yes. Yeah, and it reminds me of the The eight C's of true self from an IFS perspective. Internal family systems therapy is one of my favorite methodologies to use with my clients and also for my personal work. It's just been transformational. And the eight C's are words like creativity, clarity, compassion, courageousness, connectedness. And there's eight like that. And
Yes.
they are sort of the litmus
Community.
test.
Yes.
Yeah, they're the litmus test so that you know when you're embodied in true self and when you're not being flooded by a part of you that might be in a trauma response or
Yes.
in a fear response. This is how we return to that North Star, is having words like connectedness and clarity and creativity that feel like the authentic me, and then
The
coming back.
calmness that you need to have in order to
Yes.
get all those other things, right? Because you're not going to find those things in the turmoil. You're going to find those things in the calmness and that sense of community and caring and kindness. You've got to put this all on you first. Be kind and loving and considerate and compassionate to you. And then
Yes.
you raise yourself up and you become that compassion. You become that love. You are the love you seek. You are the peace you seek. You are
Yeah.
everything that you seek. But it's from the inside out, not found on the outside in.
Right. And, you know, it's not like you have to live in that place of authentic true self all the time. I don't even know if that's possible. I think that we get to be gentle with ourselves as we drift astray and we notice, oh wow, I've self-abandoned a lot, or I've become really victimized. But then the key is returning and knowing
Yes.
when you've drifted so that you can come back, sort of like a meditation practice. It's not about not thinking, it's about realizing when you're thinking and then
Yes.
intentionally returning.
I do a show every week myself, Sarah's View of Life, and my show this last week was about that actually, where I, the universe is speaking, am I listening? And it was there was a few things that were happening that was an indication that I'd gone off track. I'd taken on too much, I'd stepped into chaos unknowingly, and I made faux pas, I made mistakes. Now, instead of beating myself up for making mistakes, be aware of how it happened, right? Correct the mistakes to the best of your ability and have that compass more aware that you don't get down that road again where you start making mistakes. You'll make different mistakes along the way, but where do those mistakes come from when things start going wrong? I know you haven't fallen back into your old ways. Life isn't out to get you again or suck into you. It's that you perhaps lost your focus where the North Star is, right? And you've gone off down a dark alley somewhere.
Yes. Yeah, but it's always good to remember that you can return. You have
Yes.
the autonomy to be able to make the call with ultimately where you put your energy and how you want to operate in this mind, body, and heart system that you live inside of. And so if you've noticed that you're living out of alignment with who you really are or what you really value, that's the first step to
Yes.
then pulling it back in and coming home.
Exactly. And yes, if the human condition will have us go off track, right?
Yeah.
It will do because there is a sense of an adventurism or there is a sense of old patterning. As much as we delete programming and patterning, there's always a residual shadow there. And if we do overload ourselves, if we do get stressed out or depressed, then those type of things start coming to the surface again. And so it's really kind of very important that we give ourselves the time or the peace, the calmness, so that we can stay more centered and more balanced. Because if we don't, that's again where we go off kilter.
Yes, absolutely. And there's plenty of room to be imperfect
Yes.
and to go off kilter and to notice these things about yourself, because I think that's part of the human experience too,
Yeah.
is remembering that we're not robots. We're not
Exactly.
supposed to be able to just go and go and go forever and take on more and never get burned out. Like, we're human beings and there's something really sacred about that. And
Yes.
I think our mental health is a tool that reminds us when we're starting to get imbalanced in that
Yes.
way.
And how to autocorrect because your North Star, once you realize you're off kilter, you start aligning yourself with that North Star again. And it's like whoosh, off you go. There's a beautiful word I came across a few years ago, which I absolutely love, and like it's flawsome, right? We've all got some quirks and some flaws that make us uniquely us, and our broken bowl through things that have happened to us in life, our experiences. But when we put each piece back together with self-love, it becomes unbreakable, and you can fill it with love where the cup runneth over. So I think that stop trying to live up to somebody else's expectation of what you should be or what society should be. Because when you take a step back and you look at society and go, you're screwed up. You want me to be a part of that? No, right? And so it's that comparison, which I think is very deadly, a competition against each other. Instead of the embracement of who you are and letting your own essence rise up and run off over, right? Where you really now not only beneficial to yourself, but to everybody in your vicinity. And that is nothing to compare with because we've all got that beautiful, unique signature.
Yeah, and I think that we have culturally, we have a core wound of scarcity where I think people feel that there's not enough love to go around, or there's not enough success, there's not enough value to go around. So you have to fight other people for those things instead of having an abundance mindset where there's plenty and your individual flavor is essential to contribute to the whole. And so I think we have individual wounds that we need to heal, and then there are collective wounds that also need to be healed. And the way that we heal collective wounds is by first seeking within ourselves how that wound exists inside of us too, and starting with scarcity. For an example, notice how do I relate to scarcity? What do I feel like I have to earn, or there's not enough for me unless I perform for it, unless I take it from other people? And then focusing on that in my reflective work, in my therapy, in my journaling. And as soon as I heal that fragment inside of myself, the collective is one fragment more healed because of that.
Absolutely. It becomes part of the orchestra, right? You know, that's the thing. We want this huge, big orchestra, an enormous choir and instrumentalists out there. And we know it when you walk into a room, when somebody just has that bad vibe, you feel it straight away, right? And it can shake you if you allow it to. You walk into a room where you feel someone's light, you feel someone's energy, you're drawn to it. Now, when you're drawn to it, it's because you are inspired. So inspiration begets invitation. You're inspired to meet that person with this energy. Who are you? What are you? I'm soaking you up, right? So imagine if we could do that for each other, all on different frequencies. We become that choir, that chorus that we're seeking. And it just, you know, I call the love generator is our heart. When our heart chooses to love, and it keeps on loving and loving, it keeps on generating. The more you give love, the more it will generate love. And it just automatically keeps going because you're in that state of love. But that starts with self-love.
Yes, and the heart has a an electromagnetic resonance that reaches so far beyond the body, and it can be measured outside the body by science. So we know that the heart itself isn't limited to the organ, and it does have capacity for so much of this emotional material that you're explaining, the uplifting, the positivity, the love giving, the compassion giving, and it is meant to reach beyond us. We are constantly unconsciously bathing in each other's heart resonance around us. And so that's another way that we contribute by caring for our own hearts, physically, energetically, emotionally, so that it can then radiate and emanate into those waves of others as well.
I mean, we have more depression today, more anxiety today, more lost people today, than ever, I think, in the history of time. And that is, as you said, we're saturated by outside content. You know, people on the phone all the time, feeling that this is where the connection is. It is a wonderful way to connect. But how are you connecting through this connection? We are having a conversation. We are connected. We don't need to be in the same room. But when you're looking down at your phone, tap, 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 down all the time, and you're sending messages, you're not connecting. Because there's somebody right in front of you. And you see this at the dinner table when you go into a restaurant where the family's all on the phone of, what are you doing here? Right? You know, and it's so sad to see that. Why are you not talking with each other? Right? If, you know, one person's got something to share and you talk about it, fine. But we've lost our way and how to seek our North Star, how to seek our personal truth. And where everybody's trying to find it in the next best thing.
And I think that The technology is here. And so
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to learn to live life with it
Yes.
because, as lovely as the fantasy of going back to the 90s, the 80s might sound to people, this is our reality. And
Yes.
so I like to apply a lens of generosity to it, where if you can make small behaviors of generosity, like the family who's on their devices at the restaurant, maybe it's generous to put down your device and ask your child how their day was.
Yes.
Even though you're exhausted, even though you'd rather scroll your news feed mindlessly, thinking of it as an act of generosity to create a family dynamic that feels warm over the dinner table might be a good start for people. And it might create a bridge where, it connects that sort of unconscious impulse to numb versus the real authentic human need to connect. And I think generosity is one of the things that can bridge that gap. And the beauty of generosity is that it can be asymmetrical and it can still work really well. You can give a lot without receiving a lot in the moment. And maybe later down the road, you'll be the receiver and the other person will be giving a lot. And so it creates a dynamic where there is more room for reciprocity in relationship that has real connection rather than this sort of glossing over numbness. So I like to use that word generosity in that context, because I think a lot of people want that. And it seems like an easy entryway that can sort of lead to deeper connection and more alignment in relationships, despite the devices that are at our fingertips.
I'm also going to push even further and say it's a matter of respect. Right. I think one of the greatest things you can give people, two things, one, your vulnerability, but two, your time. And if you put something down, I'm giving you my time, there's my generosity, out of respect for you. Right. And I think if we say, I respect you enough to give you my time. And I think that becomes something that it becomes so much more valuable. And I think that a lot of the reason why a lot of our kids are flapping in the wind is because they don't have that respect compass. We as adults don't have respect for the politicians and the people out there. We constantly talk about it, right? We've kind of lost even a respect for ourselves or people around us. So what compass do our kids have to follow? And where is their own self-respect, which is their own compass of what they will and will not do? So if they don't even have respect in their lives, then, or you don't have self-respect and the ability to respect somebody else's contribution, then I think we're in trouble.
Well, maybe not, because I think on some level, yes, we learn from modeling and from looking at our parents, but also we learn from contrast. And so sometimes a child will learn what not to do by watching their parent do something that feels icky to them. And so we do see that every generation has its own personality. And so often generations are trying to do better than the one that came before them. And I think really that's just evolution in action. That's what we want to see for not just the human species, but all species. That's how we were designed by nature. And so, how beautiful for a young generation to see the lack of respect in the present political system, social justice system, and say, I don't like the way that looks. I'm going to teach myself how to live respectfully. I'm going to live that way. And then when I have children, I'm going to teach them. So I do think that maybe there's more hope, depending on how we look at things, but I do think there's a lot of contrast right now in the world, and it's easy to buy into, black or white, left or right. It's very polarizing right now.
And
And
it's
I don't.
shattering right now, and it's up to us to be the glue to put it back together, you know. And because the human powers are disconnecting us, the spiritual powers are showing us how to come together. And again, everything is what you feed, you know, the seeds you plant, the water and the love that you nurture them with is what will grow. So what are you going to support? What are you going to feed? And I think that self-value, having a value of who you are, why you are, what you're here to do, that wonderful self-discovery of your own instrument, self-respect, is a great way of kind of navigating in life and being that inspiration for someone else because they like what they see.
And in that way, it's not so much pressure that you have to do it yourself, because If you can align with what your value system is telling you is important and what might be missing in the world, and you can go find aligned community,
Yes.
share those values. I mean, this reminds me of the studies of what happens when you bring people together with the same intention for group meditation or for group prayer, and you can see measurable differences in their society based on the group that came together with their intention. And
Right.
so we don't have to do it alone. We just
No.
have to find each other. We have to find
Exactly.
each other. We have to resonate with each other and attune to one another.
Yes.
And that requires that we're each doing good housekeeping inside of our own psyche and inside of our own heart space so that when we step into that community that's aligned, we are bringing our highest self and we are there for growth and for health.
Yeah, I'm about bring back the village. You know, everybody in that village is only as strong as everybody's participation. And like when
Yes.
somebody falls, the village is there to help them up. When there's a celebration, the village celebrates. And I think if you can find your vibe tribe where you become that village and you become that support of one another, it isn't about, as much as we'd like to see it, hands around the world, which I'd love to see that, hands around the world. I'm not into ivory towers. I'm not into peaks. I'm into resonant harmony that flows around. And it would be lovely if we could all have hands around the world and feel each other's vibration as we go. But that's, illogical, more fantasy. But we can with our village, we can with our vibe tribe, we can with that community where we feel we're in sync with each other, and that when we come together, we're better for being together, and what then we can contribute to our community or to our village of life.
Yes, and I think it's a process. I think healing of all kinds happens in layers.
Yes.
And if we are going to heal our humanity, there's going to be a lot of layers because there's a lot of us here and we've been in existence for so long building narratives and stereotypes and all kinds of issues that will take time to tease apart and disassemble. So I think that being patient and trusting that the process is unfolding, even if you don't understand exactly how, or if you can't feel it in the moment you're in because you're just a little bit too kind of covered by the veils of your own illusion or your mental illness or the things that feel hard, just maintaining that little seed of light inside of yourself that you trust that if you keep going and if you keep pivoting into alignment with your true north and with your highest intention, then you are moving the right way, even if you can't define it.
It's not about, I mean, the first leap is the first step, right? But
Yes.
it is about step one, step two, step three, and not with your head down looking at your feet, but by paying attention to what's either side of you. There are always signs, there are always people, there is always something either side of you as you walk this path that will benefit you along the way. Even the warning signs of, pothole ahead, right? You don't wait until you get into the pothole. There's a warning sign. So I think one of the big problems and one big things that we need to do is actually be engaged with our presence of our each step and pay attention to what's around us.
Absolutely. I think a big problem right now in society is that so many people are on autopilot and there's so much that's available to numb us that it's really enticing, especially with the collective pain. It's enticing for people to just sort of click off their consciousness and just operate day in and day out, you know, with the mentality of just making it through the day, trying to get to the end of the day where we can watch movies and eat and drink and do all of the things that help us feel better. But I think that it's a really intentional practice to say, no, I'm not going to live that way. I'm here for all of it. I'm here for the joy. I'm here for the pain. I'm willing to feel the suffering. Like we talked about in the beginning of the conversation, that there are gifts in feeling the discomfort. And so I think that's part of the intention too, is not expecting everything to feel good because that is not part of the human experience. It's about the holistic toolbox that we've been given as people that includes all of these many, many emotions and really getting to use all of them by being here for all of them and welcoming them as though they belong, because I think they do.
Yeah, absolutely. Our mental health is a reflection, I think, a great deal of the turmoil, and it's also be careful where we allow our mind to go, right? It's As I said, the pimple into a volcanic eruption, the sensationalism that is constantly out there, and buyer beware. And if that arena is one that is, gets you going, and then, it's not a good arena. And it's like change directions. And maybe it means changing partners, changing jobs, changing something. Don't be afraid of change, even if you don't know what the change is. Making that decision to, no, this isn't working for me. I am going to change. And I call it blind, deaf, and dumb in order to hear, see, and feel. And it's only that willingness to change and rediscover in a redirection of where your life is to be. It's not waiting for something to come up and then you're going to hop over to it, right? It is about a whole new discovery, and it really is exciting. If you've lived one way and you've been discontent with yourself and you feel that you haven't been a part of life, you've just been going through the humdrum, and then suddenly you decide you're going to go down this new path of wonderment and exploration and adventure and self-discovery, it's exciting, but it's a mindset that you've got to look at it as exciting.
Certainly. And I think overall, people don't tend to like change. Change is terrifying because I think people tend to be most comfortable when things are predictable and when they're in control and when they're in the known. And so if a change is necessary to align you with your highest potential and your happiest, most joyful self, and that purpose that's your North Star, I think it's really important to find some help along the way so that you don't feel so alone. And sometimes the help just looks like a best friend at a coffee shop who you're talking to. And sometimes it looks like listening to podcasts like this, or reading an inspirational book, or
Called
journaling
the
about.
Radiant Life Project, right? So
Yes, absolutely. So I think it's okay if change feels necessary, but also very scary, it's okay to ask for help, and it's okay to find help in all of the known and unknown places. I find help in nature all the time when I least expect it, or in the silly little things my kids say that they don't even know is helpful, but really sometimes is. So I think sometimes just looking for the helpers can be a good way to just feel more courageous to step into the change that feels necessary.
That's what I said about that pathway, paying attention to the people around you. You could be at a coffee shop and you start up with a conversation with someone who's sitting next to you. And the next thing you know, they've said something that has been ding dong, right? And wow, and they were put there to give you that information to take you on your next journey. But if we're so busy down on the phones and we're not paying attention to the people around us, how are we gathering that information? Be engaging and be engaged.
Yes, I think there are little signs and offerings all the time everywhere, but if you're not looking for them, you might not see them, or maybe you'll see far fewer than you'd like. And if you're looking for them, I think they're everywhere, and you get to choose which ones you pick up and take with you, and which doors lead to other doors that then open into entirely new worlds. But yes, you have to be looking for them, and you have to be willing to walk through those doors when they open.
And
That's where
sometimes
courage
a
comes.
window, right? Just
Yeah.
because there isn't another door in the room, and you think, well, how do I get out? There's a window there, So
Yeah. So
don't limit your thinking, and don't let fear come in. Fear this common sense fear. Don't go do something that's going to jeopardize your life or your health. We know the dangers. Don't walk in front of the bus. Don't put your hand in fire, right? Those are logical. But when we become fearful about what we don't know or the change, we become stagnant. So let's change the word and go wondrous, exploration, adventure, self-discovery, and change the verbiage about what that change is, and you will actually start seeing that it will change your perspective of what it is.
Absolutely. Words have so much power to change the way we perceive things. But I will say, too, for someone who feels like they're really paralyzed in fear, and fear has become a dominant experience, I think that's an invitation to get to know fear better and to start to get curious about how is fear showing up to remind me of something that I recognize that didn't work so well last time, or maybe fear is showing up as a warning sign because my nervous system senses something that my eyes can't see yet, right? So sometimes I think if fear is very pervasive, It's worth a deep dive into understanding how fear shows up for you specifically based on your history and your wiring, and then getting to befriend your fear so that you can help yourself by integrating the wisdom the fear gives you. And then once you're able to really meet your fear at the message it's trying to convey, then the fear isn't necessary anymore, and so it subsides.
Yes, but it's also sometimes knowing the root cause of the fear, and sometimes you may find out this was hereditary, right? Hereditary fear, or your parents were always fearful, and so you learned to be fearful, but it's not your fear.
Yes.
Right. And
Yeah.
that, you know, that realization, this is somebody else's programming that's been imposed upon you. And it's like this program is no longer serving. So you can delete it because it's not something you need to befriend. It's something that has nothing to do with you anyway. It just
Right.
latched on and decided to travel with you. Right.
Yeah, so it's always worth investigating if something feels like it's persistent, whether it needs to be, deleted and moved on from, or dove in deeper into and gained insight from. I think it's when people turn away from those
Yes,
persistent little
yes.
nagging emotions that they just keep themselves in that sense of autopilot and they don't meet what is here because our body doesn't know how to lie.
No.
Like our mind can lie to us, our mind can get driven astray, but the body doesn't know how to lie and it speaks in the language of sensory experiences and emotions. And so, if there is something that keeps coming up, and it could be an emotion like fear, or it could be a symptom like a racing heart or a, being flooded by heat,
Yes.
and getting curious, I think, can lead toward a lot
Yeah.
of insights.
Don't be afraid to investigate, right? Don't be afraid, you know, people, I'm so scared to open that Pandora box. What will be in there? Well, maybe it just needs some damn good house cleaning. You know, the
Maybe.
reason why it's, you know, trying to get out is that there's too much in there, needs more
Yeah.
space, you know, and it's like, if you have an open mind, you have an open heart, and you really truly know your North Compass, you know your consciousness, you can face anything. And you know, you don't have to let everything out of the box at the same time, just one thing at a time. And then you'll find out, what was I so afraid of here? Was it
Right.
anticipation? Was it expectation? Was it unknown? And you know, sometimes I think we get confused with fear and anticipation. Anticipation is like, I don't know, but I'm excited. And sometimes we perceive it as fear, because we don't know. But I think it's understand your emotions and why they're there, because they're there to tell you something, you know, anger, anticipation, anxiety, everything else, they're there to tell you something, but don't become emotional over your emotions.
Right. And if it feels like Pandora's box is imminent for you, therapy is great for that. You can
Yes.
open Pandora's box in a safe container with a licensed clinician who knows how to handle that and teach you how to handle that.
Yes.
So don't allow the fear of something to keep you from looking at it. Just build a team around yourself to help support you to do the work that you need to do to clear it and move it through
Yeah.
your system so that you can unburden yourself from all the ways it's keeping you small and holding you back.
We are meant to evolve. We are meant to step into that wonderment of that higher elevation. We are so much more than we've allowed ourselves to be. And when we step up in that discovery, we find that the skills and the abilities that we have are extraordinary. But because we've always held ourselves back because of societal dictation or low expectation, you know, we didn't discover it. And when you're willing to take that journey, and it's, yes, you know, nobody's saying you need to get to a finish line. There isn't a finish line, right? It is a constant for the rest of your life, a beautiful sense of discovery of what does the day hold? What am I going to learn about myself today? What is life going to teach me today? And again, changing that mindset of wonderment. And it's like that box needs to be emptied out, and I'll only keep what is going to serve me, or that is a nice memory. But anything that isn't serving me, I have to let it go, because it's otherwise going to be an anchor. And it's and sometimes that means, you know, things aren't in the box, they're family members or relationships or jobs. And how do you let them go? They're my family. Well, you have to, for your own sanity. And when you have risen up to that higher level, They may be inspired by your journey and wish to take one of their own, but you can't hold yourself back just because it's family, and stop yourself from moving forward, because then you're doing yourself a disservice and them as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's a lot of wisdom in that.
So tell us about the book, The Radiant Life Project, Awakening Your Purpose, Heal Your Past, and Transform Your Future. I like all of that. So what will people expect in the book?
The book is a deep dive masterclass into self-healing, and that kind of covers the realms of trauma recovery, building aligned relationships, having a more authentic and integrity-filled sense of self that moves you closer to that North Star and that purpose. And I wrote this book because in my almost 17 years now as a licensed therapist, I realized that it's difficult to not be able to reach the collective as a large kind of audience. And so I'm doing a lot of work one-on-one with people, but I wanted to get these teachings out, especially after going through this pandemic and seeing the impacts of the pandemic on our mental health. So essentially, this book is everything I know from my clinical experience and from my personal experience of really doing this work myself, doing my own trauma healing, doing my own relational stuff, and understanding that it works because I've lived it. And I consolidated it into 11 chapters that are accessible and applicable for people who are doing this work either on their own or far away from me where they can't come into therapy sessions. Maybe they're doing this work with their group of friends or within their family. And it's just an invitation into this really transformative healing that I think the world needs right now.
I completely agree. And a lot of people, they've got to that decision. Okay, I know change is needed. I know I've got to change. Then the big word that comes after that, how? Who? What? And I think, having a book that it gives you shares you some how steps, right? And what the next step should be. Then I think that empowerment of because in any time, in doing these shows, when I first started out, I was with another network, and this is almost 12 years ago, and they were live. And the first show, I pressed all the wrong buttons, and it was 13 months of all sorts of things that went wrong because it was live. But I didn't know I could do it. I didn't know I could troubleshoot. I didn't know I could do the technology. And I didn't know I'd be at this 12 years later, loving what I do. And that's the thing, that don't leap ahead. Oh, I want to be here then, and I want to be doing this by this time, and I want to be doing that. No, concentrate on the now. The gift of the present is in the now. And let the now, allow the now to show you the path. Because if you dictate it, you're probably going to go down some old patterns that you don't need to go down, and find yourself right back where you were. But if you allow that journey to unfold by being engaged, by reading, by listening, by learning, then you actually begin to see things so differently and discover things so much more deeper and more profound that no dictation could have given you, other than the allowing of that universe showing you the way.
And I think that even though we are at an all-time high for mental illness and depression and anxiety, I think we're also at an all-time high for awakening and people who are wanting to grow and inspired to do things differently. We've got cycle breakers that are breaking ancestral trauma and changing things for the generations ahead for the better. We've got people who are rebelling against toxic workplaces. We have a lot of up-leveling going on. And so my idea with the Radiant Life Project is to offer it as a tool for those people to bring along onto their courageous journey to do better and to heal in ways that are really remarkable, but so attainable for all of us. And I have a lot of offerings throughout the book that are experiential practices that you can take to your journal, or you can take into your meditation or into your conversations and practice this stuff so that it's not just theory. Because as soon as we can take something theoretical and integrate it into our lives, then we can live it. And so
Yes.
that is the point of this Radiant Life Project, is not just to be some interesting book that you read and then put on your shelf, but actually sort of something you integrate into who you are so that you can live with such an illumination that you look back at your past self with compassion
Yes.
because you see how far you've come.
Yes. Yes. I always say to people that at some point you're going to reach a crossroads and you're going to think, well, I'm not moving forward. What's happening? No, you were meant to pause. You were meant to reflect back to see how far you come and who you are now. You're taking stock to know which path to take next. So understand that this isn't about getting into fifth gear. This is first, second, third, fourth, and occasionally you'll get into fifth gear and cruise along, but then you'll get down into that third and second because you're paying attention around you and it's okay to absorb the journey. And you're not here. You, Kate, aren't here to do it for them or to tell them next step, next step. You are here to guide them with tools and wisdom for them to apply where they're at in their own way. And that is, the best teachers are those that have gone through it because they're sharing what they did. You take that instrument, but you're going to play it a different way. But you set the instrument up for you to play so that your own voice can come out, right? That's the beauty of it. Nobody's here meant to do it for you. And, we've seen a great deal in the past, psychotherapy being one of keeping you in the trauma because let's face it, it keeps them in the pocket, right? So now it's about giving people the tools that they can use daily in their lives, on their life's journey, that becomes a part of their life's journey that will help them go where they need to go independently.
Yes, absolutely. And in their own unique way.
Yes.
So I think of it like every person has an inner pilot light inside of them that is their life's essence. And the pilot light can burn really low when we're not taking care of ourselves, or it can really roar with brilliance when we're feeding ourselves in all of these really nutritive, emotional, psychological, energetic ways. And each of our pilot lights is like a different color orb glowing through the earth.
Yes.
And we all contribute to the light on this planet. And so
Mm
we can care for our inner light with practices like the ones in my book, then we can impact the whole in such an amazing way where we get to be ourselves and
yes.
we don't have to show up inauthentically or disingenuously because we're so comfortable with the light that is our own that all we want to do is share it.
Yes.
And that's how we have a brighter community.
No comparison. You are unique. As Popeye says, I am what I am, right? Own who you are, right? Your journey of constant growth and exploration is to refine who you are and your meaningful purpose. You are not meant to be someone else. And you can be inspired by somebody else. Speakers out there, people who have written things out, you're inspired by their journey, you're inspired by what they say and they do. But it's for you to apply that inspiration into your own life, to integrate it into your own life so that you become inspirational to yourself.
And I was just reading some interesting research by the Nobel Peace Prize winner Maria Ressa, and she was studying that lies spread 6 times faster than anything else on the
Yes.
internet,
Yes.
except for one thing. The one thing that spreads as quickly as lies is inspiration.
Ah, good. Well, let's keep inspiring.
Yes. So I see that as a choice that we all
Yes,
have because
yes,
we have
yes.
the vehicle of the internet. What are
Yes.
we going to do with it? Are we going to
Yeah.
play into these lies, or are we going to try to fuel the inspiration machine instead? And I do think that inspiration uplifts us, it connects us, it helps us connect to ourselves. And so I think when we're feeding into that, we become part of something great.
What's one of the most contagious things that we have out there? A smile. When something inspires us, we smile. When we smile, somebody else smiles because we're smiling. And that is the same with laughter. When you're laughing, people don't know what you're laughing at, but they start laughing along with you, right? And so a smile and laughter, they're so contagious. So when you share, and don't forget, all that's out there on the internet is an algorithm, but so are we. So what we're putting out is what people are vibrationally picking up, and that's what we are attracting. So if we're getting negativity, we must be putting that out. We need to reflect and look at how we're verbiaging the energy we're putting behind something, our point of view, and change it consciously. And go and do something inspirational. And now you'll have people that see that inspiration, comment and like, and it just opens up and opens up and opens up their hearts even more. But again, what we feed will grow. So if everything is an algorithm, are you going to feed the misery or are you going to feed the joy? You can't help those that want to stay in misery. They've got to make the choice to want to come out. You can help them when they come out and say, here are some tools, some skills, some wisdom that you can apply on your journey. I've got you. Right? But again, it's our free will. Can't drag somebody out, can't make them go if they don't want to. That's our free will of what we're going to feed, what we're going to choose. But whatever you choose, misery or joy, own it.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
So, what are you offering people? You do one-on-ones. Is that a face-to-face, or do you do it online?
So with the Radiant Life Project, I like to build community around this work. So, for example, this week I'm offering a free book club where anybody who's read the book can just join me on Zoom for free and we can talk about the teachings and how they apply into your life. So I do offer free things. I offer things that are paid for a low fee. I offer individual sessions. I also run retreats and I do workshops. I do public speaking to large groups, and also small companies hire me to speak to their employees and their staff about the Radiant Life Project and how to access it. I also have a certification as an art therapist, and so I can do art-based therapeutic groups and sessions that bring creativity into this work. So, excuse me.
Yeah, it's okay. Getting caught up with your own enthusiasm there.
Yes.
So basically, the Radiant Life book is the root of everything that you do. So it is the something that when people go to the book, and they've read the book, from there everything else that you do, because it reflects back on the book's teachings, is something that they can then integrate and understand and move forward with. But the book is that basic core that is the compass that will help them navigate through everything else you have to offer.
Yes, absolutely. I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice.
No, believe me, everybody who knows me has seen me have coughing and spluttering on here. So, and occasionally as an asthmatic, I take a deep breath and then have a spasm. So those coughs are nasty and they're out there. Got cough shows, by the way, very interesting. But yeah, I think that's the where people can start. By getting the book and you're just slowly immersing yourself into it. You don't have to read from beginning to end straight away. Read and take stock, take practice, let it sit with you. Because a lot of time people will, okay, how do I do? I want to read that. Now what? Now what? No, slow down. You've got to absorb what you've just read, absorb what's being said. Are you using this? Listen, learn, and apply. Are you applying what you've le just read? And start that journey. Don't be in a rush, folks, right? It isn't about the speed. It's about the engagement. Are you engaged with it? Are you participating in your own healing, in your own life? And it's one step in front of the other. There will be times you can leap, but it's not in the beginning, except for that first step.
Absolutely.
Be
And I think,
methodical.
and yes, and it does happen in layers. And I talk about that in the book, how to heal the layers of trauma, of things that come up with inner work. And it's just really important to respect the systematic way the body needs to work through the layers in order to remain stabilized. So this is why we don't force entry into issues that we don't feel ready to face yet, but we work with the things that we are ready to face to the extent where eventually we will get down low enough into the stack of layers where we're facing the really hardcore stuff. But we're doing so with so much resourcing and so much internal strength that we remain stable. Because once somebody gets destabilized, it's really not effective. And then you end up having to do so much damage control around getting them stable again that it wasn't worth rushing in. So I think it's really thoughtful to be aligned with the body's wisdom and to listen to what you're ready to face and what you're ready to do in your life. And it's okay to take baby steps.
Exactly. Exactly. Step by step, you'll get there. And that's the important thing. You will get there. Trauma and our memories are cellular deep. And they can be ancestral life memories. They could be your life memories. They could be past life memories. And you work through something and you think everything's fine. And then something else comes up that's been buried very, very deep. And it's now ready to come to the surface. But again, step by step, deal with what is in front of you, right? Make sure that you've thoroughly got control over that, that you can let it go or you can make friends with it. And then next. But don't keep going, well, I want to get down to the core. Yes, we want you to get down to the core. We want you to get down to those bottom layers. But those bottom layers have been protected by all the other layers. You've got to go through and clear everything. And then that bottom core layer, well, that's been suffocated there for so long, will actually want to come up and be released, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think we have to be respectful of our adaptive mechanisms for protection because they're probably there for very good reasons. So, to use your word of respect and self-respect, I think that really implies the healing process needs to go at a pace that is respectful to all layers of the system.
Honor yourself. Right? Honor
Yes.
yourself. You are with you from birth to death. There is no escaping you. You can numb yourself as much as you like. You can go down the drug or addiction way. You will always have to catch up and face yourself. So the sooner that you're willing to face yourself without blame, without shame, but purely with love and healing in mind, you will start then taking those layers and one by one releasing them. And then you will discover there is absolutely a beautiful, awesome soul in there that's waiting to come out. You just had to get rid of all those stuff that was in the way. But you cannot numb it. You can't hide from it. Resistance is futile. You do have to come to terms with all those things that are holding you back in order for you to actually try to understand your North Star compass and what you're really here to do, right? Don't be afraid of it. Be
Absolutely.
excited about it. Things are going to come up. My God, I had no idea. And it's quite intriguing, some of the things that come up, right? And you can look at it and analyze it and say, thank you for showing up, but you're not needed in my next journey of life.
Absolutely. And we don't always know what the future holds. Actually, we never do. So we can just orient ourselves to whatever we hope the future will hold for us with the wisdom of the present and the memories of the past. And we just have to venture forward at our own pace. And I think finding these guides along the way is really important, be it my book or your show or any other resource that feels supportive of that light inside of you and the direction that it's pointing.
You have to participate and be engaged in your own healing. People
Yes.
are here to help you. Your book, my shows, other people's books and shows, you're going to need them all at different levels. There is no one book that fits all. There is no one thing that size all. They will all have different meanings at different levels of different times in your life. And it's be willing to be exploratory, be adventurous, be wondrous. Because when you're in that kind of excitement, is I'm open and ready to receive. Even the
Yes.
bad things, because I know that when I get through the other side, look what I just did.
Beautiful. I love it.
How do people get hold of you if they wish to talk to you further about either consultation or any of your workshops or retreats? So how do people get hold of you, love?
The hub for my work is theradiantlifeproject.com. And that's where you can find information about all of my offerings. And I'm also on most of the main social media. My handle is The Radiant Life Project. I make daily posts. I try to give away a lot of free things and build community with aligned people who are interested in this work. So you can find me on socials. And my book is available everywhere online where you buy your books. So just search The Radiant Life Project. And I hope it benefits you. I hope it aids in moving you towards your purpose and fulfills that need for having a guiding light right beside you doing this work together.
Exactly. And of course, on LinkedIn, you're under your name, Kate King Therapy.
Oh, yes.
So.
Yes. LinkedIn, I'd rebranded my business during the pandemic away from Kate King Therapy and toward the Radiant Life Project. So you are right. LinkedIn didn't let me do it for some reason. So,
Yeah, no, you're stuck with things there, yes. So, but that's fine. They just put in your name and it will come up. And if there's a more Kates up there, then therapy. That's the one that you want there. But the links
Perfect.
are all here on your show page anyway. And you know, sometimes it's good to just go and buy a couple of books and say to a friend, "Let's do this together." Right? Now, we may be at different levels at different times. But that means we can help ourselves through this process. So let's read the book. Let's reach out. Let's start doing something and let's do it as companions. Right? And
Yes.
it's wonderful if you've got a friend that you trust enough to be vulnerable enough to take this journey. But what a beautiful gift to each other to do so.
Absolutely. And this book does really well when people do it together because of the experiential offerings. It gives you little practice points and discussion points. So this is a great book for book clubs that are self-help oriented, personal growth oriented. It's a great thing for families and for friend groups. So I do recommend that because this works a lot of fun when you do it in community with people who have the same values.
Yes, and just that lovely reveal. Yeah, I mean, you know, stuff, memories are going to come up, and it's like, oof, you know, and again, no shame, no blame. Whatever comes up, face. Where does it belong? Sometimes it just belongs gone. And sometimes, okay, that's a memory I need to remember so that I never do that again, but I don't have to attach the pain to it. Right?
And let yourself be supported. When
Yes.
things come up, let your friends, let your loved ones be there for you.
Yes.
Share with them. Process with them, bring it to therapy if it feels like it's really deep, but let yourself receive the kind of support because that's part of this too, that sometimes we can't do it alone and we need each other. And so
Yes.
being really discerning to find the right people to accompany you on this journey, I think is a great process as well.
And one word that we don't want to see any on anybody's vocabulary is judgment. Right? That one you can just leave somewhere else altogether. You're here to support one another. And so judgment has no place. None whatsoever. Self-judgment, judgment of others. You can call someone an idiot. You did what? You know, make fun, but no judgment. No judgment. Keep it light, keep it loving, and keep it growing in the right direction.
I agree.
Thank you so much for being with us here today, Kate. We've learned a lot from you. And I love the fact that you've got that book, which is that step by step. When people are ready, you know, the teacher appears or the book appears and the show appears that is here for you. And this is the thing is that everything is at our fingertips today. We have no excuse. We've just got to be willing to put that first foot forward and go forward. Pay attention. When we pay attention, all those signs are around us all the time. Just be open and ready to receive. So thank you, Kate.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on your show. It's been a great conversation.
My pleasure. And until next time, folks, remember you are worth it. We need you. We need your light. We need your love. We need your essence. So please take that journey of self-love and self-discovery and be the light that we all seek. Until next time, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. There are so many more for you here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. Just go to the podcast tag at the top there and you will see all the many genres and all 3,000 shows ready for your listening. We are here to serve you, to help you on your journey of life. And we know that through inspiration, it begets invitation. We are supported by you, the listeners, and those that we interview. Anything that you can spare us in donation would be greatly accepted. And we do hope that you enjoy the next show.